going to start off this morning just by way of just an introduction of the general theme of old age. But we're primarily going to study the life of Caleb and the way that he approached that. And so later on we'll be reading in Scripture from Joshua, the 15th chapter, as we have the account of him coming to the Lord at age 80 plus and saying, "What have you got for me to do? I'm ready to go." We started off rather in a light note, and it is appropriate. I think a lot of people are very allergic when you tell jokes about race, when you tell jokes about this kind of thing. But I found that older people can laugh at themselves. And you may have found exceptions to that. I'm sure there are. But I remember being here. We were here a little over 10 years ago, and my wife and I were here, Nancy Hemphill came up and said, "Bob, you'll enjoy this." I said, "Mom and Dad always call on this night of the week, and they try to call just right at 7 o'clock, which is 8 o'clock back at the home in Pittsburgh." Well, they didn't call at 8, and then so we stayed up and knew they must be down at something. They didn't call at 9. And finally, at 10 o'clock here, which would be 11 o'clock back there, which is past their bedtime, the phone rang, and Dr. Wright said, "Well, why didn't you answer these last 2 hours we've been trying to call you?" "Oh, well, Dad, we were here and the phone didn't ring." And then she heard from the background, as Nancy was telling me, said to his wife, "Greta, that was the TV remote control I was trying to call them on." So we can smile and laugh and say those things happen. And if you never grew up with a remote control, they look a lot like a telephone. But it's real, and those things happen. And as the lady at the wedding said, "You're getting there. At what speed, you don't know." But, when I realized age is a relative thing, I was in my 30s and I was assistant football coach out at a place called Quinter, Kansas, and ask Wade about that sometime. But the fellow came to me, drove by, saw me out in the yard, and he said, "Mr. McFarland, I think I'll quit football." I said, "Well, Rick, why would you do that?" "Well, it's just a bunch of us kids out there and you old men out there yelling at us all the time." So 30s can make you old if you're talking to a teenager, but let's hear God's speaking to this subject in general. Godliness must grow as you age in God's plan. Sanctification, it's called. Titus 2 and 2, "That the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, abound in the sound in the faith, in the charity and patience." God said, "I look for that in older men." And by the grace of God, you've been blessed to see that in the older men you know. Somebody said, "People are like alligators. They tell me the alligators grow until they die." And so it is. As one's age, they are to grow in grace. Titus 2, 2 and 4. "Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children." The right kind of men and women in this age group in the congregation, you see an encouraged group of younger women because they got it from the older ones. It's so easy to see changes come. And I would have a separate sermon on that, but I give it each year at Senate, so I won't give it right here. But second, the older shall receive respect according to God's plan. The hoary head in Proverbs 16 and 31 is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Very interesting if. The Hollywood movies, they would just put the older people to be respected if they have white hair. God puts a clause on the end, if it be found on the head of a righteous man. And we know righteousness only comes by the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are times when, as a pastor, I've had to, through my session and with my session, admonish and rebuke men nearly my father's age. It's not a pleasant task. But God always puts a clause on here. If it's found in the way of righteousness. I had a high school girl who was going to go out and work at the Dairy Queen, and they said to advertise for a job, and she went and applied, and the opening involved her working on the Sabbath day. And she said, "I won't work on the Sabbath day. That's my day to give to the Lord. I believe the fourth commandment applies to all days." About 3 weeks later, I saw that her grandmother took the job and was out working at the Dairy Queen on the Sabbath day. Now, it doesn't mean that grandmother's lost, but meant that I would be there on her doorstep saying, "Can you imagine the example you're setting as an older lady before your granddaughter who refused that job and you took it?" So old age isn't just automatic, quote, getting ready to step right into heaven because you're so righteous. We're still a vile sinner in need of grace. "Thou shalt rise up," God said, "before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear the Lord. I am the Lord." The last one, just in the general area, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. We don't often place that on our youth like we ought to place it. They have something to say. And some family night at the church, the requirement may be everybody has to be over 65 or 70, and they're the program tonight. And they're going to speak out of experience of what used to be and what could be and whatever they choose. And then the last general principle, parents and older people are given the responsibility to financially help the young people. This is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:14. "Hear this for the third time. I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I do not seek what is yours, but you. For children are not responsible to save up for their parents, but parents for their children." I was passed by a large motor home. And down there beside the license plate, it said, "We're spending our children's inheritance." Think about it. Do some study on the reverse mortgage idea. Well, I don't need to leave anything, do I? I'll just go and I can spend all this money right down so the house is worth nothing when I die. Did you say there's no biblical verse and reference? No, there's not. But here's a principle that older people are not authorized to simply say you're on your own. And that's why children will respond. Well, I won't labor the general principles, but let's go to this man by the name of Caleb and Joshua 14. I'm going to read beginning with verse 6, down through about 17 there, down to the end of the chapter. What happened earlier? At age 40, this Caleb was one of the 12 elders, was one of the 12 leaders. He was the popular fellow. He was the most popular of two tribes. He was, and Joshua the other, and 10 others, and they were going to go out ahead and look at the promised land and see if they could go on ahead. 10 of the leaders came back and said, "Do you know who Anak is? These guys are 7 foot tall. There's no way. You have a lot of grapes there. There's no way we're going to make it." But Joshua and Caleb said, no. Like David said when he ran to meet Goliath, "Is there not a cause? We can do it with God's help." Immediately, the peer influence comes in and they picked up stones and said, "Let's get Caleb and Joshua." That's the background. Now he's 80 years old. He comes as an old man. What's happened to this fella that most of them wanted to throw out? Verse 6. "Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, that man of God in Kadesh Barnea, concerning you and me? That's back when I was 40 years old. He's now 80. When Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, I brought him back word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever. Because Caleb, you have wholly followed the Lord my God. What a blessing to say at 80 years of age. And now behold, the Lord has kept you alive, for one thing, just as he said these 45 years since the time the Lord spoke his word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, on this day, 85 years old, says Caleb, I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now as it is, my strength was then, for war and for going out and coming. So now, I see there's a level plane out there. I thought old folks have a hard time getting up to the pulpit and everywhere else. So probably let us have this, right? No, he says, here's the hills. Give me the hills. Give me the difficult at age 80 and plus. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. Now that's what Caleb said. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb. That's in the middle of the hills, the son of Jephunneh, for inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Just an interesting little sideline at the end. The great men, the Anakims, the 7 foot guys that chased out the other 10 and all the Israelites, have changed the name. It's going to be called Hebron. By the grace of God and the vision of a man who had that vision at age 40, and he could not be deflected right into his 85th year. Let's take a look at this man, Caleb, and see what we see. So the things that I jotted down here is that the Lord noticed his attitude. This is Numbers 14, but we could find other places. Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into a land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. He has a different spirit. Few of you will remember the name Jesse Mitchell. See, we were driven out by the communists in China, though we had about 1,200 members there. And you follow some history, God said, I got 1,200 members waiting for you to form presbytery. But they came and they got all the missionaries out, get these Americans back home because they'll be killed by the communists. And Jesse Mitchell said, no, I'll stay. And as the American bombers, Jimmy Doolittle and the like, came and bombed Tokyo, he was there when they ran out of gas and helped them stagger back the way and be hidden until they could be taken under American control. He liked his attitude. He left, sent his family back home. Older men. We put a list of older men. Secondly, Caleb stood strong against the crowd, 13 and 30. This is Numbers. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take the possession of the land. This was the 40-year plan. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can attack these people. They're stronger. We can't attack. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw, they're a great size. We saw the Nephilim and the descendants of Anak. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. That's what he faced when he was 40. Now, he'll take a stand, and they'll try to stone him to death at age 40. God's going to see this happen. As you're studying a book here, and you're acquainted with Dr. Wayne Speer, we were in seminary together. And they picked out the brilliant ones in seminary. Somehow my name slipped by. But anyhow, Dr. Speer, and sent him off, pulled him out of the pastorate, said, you go off and get your doctorate degree, come back and teach theology. Well, they suggested several areas, but it moved his family out of the bounds of the Reformed Presbyterian Church. He said, I won't go. Well, that was his first stand that he took. Next one, he decided to go to Princeton. Now, Princeton, a long time ago, went over the edge on biblical inerrancy, but Wayne didn't. And we're talking about the resurrection this morning, and he came to me once, and he said, you know, Bob, said, we studied 1 Corinthians 15 this week in our class in Princeton, and I think there were two other fellows in the class of about 40 that believed in the literal resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in Princeton Seminary, including the professor. See, he stood strong against the crowd from that time on, and he writes materials that can be studied out here in Shawnee. Three, Caleb saw his experience and age and asset. Joshua 14:10. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am, 85 years old. His age was an asset. What happened to the other million? God turns, as he does to congregations that have a congregational meeting, that God says, what's the vote? I'm a Presbyterian. Well, it's 10-2, God. Okay, I'll just send the people in circles until that attitude dies. And that's what he did with the children of Israel. They died in the desert. But Joshua and Caleb were the two left 40 years later, and they were just the two left and their families. He saw his experience and age and asset. He said, I'm 85. Think about it. Where are my other 85-year-old friends? And history tells us. It is interesting that there's a book in the Bible called Philemon. And Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon. But he signs it. He says, Philemon, we used to stay in your house. We go to church in your house. And he's coming back. And yeah, he stole the silverware or whatever he took. He took something. And I'll pay for that. But this is Paul, the aged and in chains. Isn't that interesting? He says, I got a prison record and I'm an old man. And that's why you ought to listen. Thank God for Paul. He saw his experience and age as an asset. Old age, you're going to find some differences. And you know, when I was a young man, my father said, we left Kansas to go to Geneva, and he said, we'll see you at Christmas. And we never picked up the telephone between there and Christmas. And I learned that my wife was the same way, another Kansas girl. But it's different today, isn't it? Can you imagine sending people out without a telephone in one hand? Age, well, somebody said, the surest way to become peculiar is to remain the same. So my telephone is still a means of communicating a message and an alert, but it's not a means of fellowship. That takes place here. But anyhow, I was over in Australia to show the difference, and Ed Blackwood, and we, you know that family, is just coming in our midst. Anyhow, Ben was about 13, and he was in our house here in Topeka, and we were in their house in Australia, and the telephone rang. And I answered it. I said, hi, this is Ben. Well, hi, Ben. How's it going? You in our house? Yeah, we are. And I've been walking around your garage, and I saw the basketball goal. I see there's a flat basketball, but I'm looking for a needle to pump up the basketball. And I looked it up. I said, that's a little different use of the telephone that I grew up with, hunting up needles for basketball. Incidentally, he paid for it, so it was no great man. But there's a difference. Old age. It comes in, and we see the difference. Just little things like that. We said, boy, that's a different philosophy of how you use your telephone. Somebody wrote this about the greatness there is in this age. And he looks back and he said, boy, I'm glad I'm not 40 again. Now, for anybody that might be near that, if not, you're getting there. He writes this, arriving at 40 is a bit like having ashes put onto your forehead on Ash Wednesday. It's a vivid, real, harsh reminder that some pretty bleak data, namely, that one is mortal. Remember, O man, the dust thou art, and unto dust you shall return, says the priest. And your 40th birthday might as well have been written in icing across that dust is mortal. He goes ahead. How does the splendor of age present itself? And there's the way, this is the way that he's looking back. It appears in several ways, most of them I couldn't have imagined. When I was younger, if I had, would have found appealing at all. Domestically, for instance, home night after night, the gradual discovery that the real locale of human life is at the table and at the hearth. His 40th becomes to come alive, new things. Whatever parties or trips or evenings out may come along, the place I want to be more than anywhere else is my own house with my wife and children. If you told me this 10 or 20 years ago, I would doubtless have thought, excellent to have it that way, if you like, but I want variety. I want dazzle. I want excitement. And that would perhaps have been all right for a young man. See, God gives with aging situations a contentment. When you find a discontented old man, old woman, you can take the Bible out, and God give us elders that will keep their Bibles out when old people obviously sin. There's a tendency to say, well, gray hair, they must have known what they were doing, and so we shouldn't get involved in their life, and particularly elders shouldn't do that, and maybe they should. Maybe we need to be more direct in some of the examples that some of us had set. The majority report, as Caleb came back, we're skipping around somewhat, but this is the historical background. The people who live in the land, the majority report was, are strong. The cities are fortified, they're very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak. But Caleb stepped up and he quieted the people. We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they're too strong for us. There also we saw the Nephilim, we became like grasshoppers and the like. And so Caleb pleaded. He pleaded until they took after him when he was 40. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to the congregation, if the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land. He'll give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they shall be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Would that be exciting to have an elder, 40-year-old, one of the spies, came back? That's what he said. Then the next word is but. All the congregation said to stone them with stones. You'd have thought many people, if they had an opinion at 40, by the time they were 80, they would have changed the idea. And you have to ask yourself, what convictions did I have as a teenager that I've sold out because I got older and found that I'd been stoned if I carried those out? What we laid aside, thinking that's just maturity instead of it may not be at all. Caleb was peculiar because he didn't change. Fourth, Caleb was a veteran of peer pressure, as you heard it there. You know what the Lord said to Moses? We read in Joshua 14:6. At Kadesh Barnea, when I was 40 years old, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. I brought him back a report. But my brothers, he writes in his own word, they made the people's heart melt. Do you allow the crowd around you to make your friend's heart to melt when you know it's wrong? The changes that takes place in lives through experiences, through encounters, through this kind of thing is something we can't go on without at least addressing, saying, what has taken place in my life, in the changing, in the younger? What convictions did you have at age 40 that have now changed? Or when you look at an older man who has the same convictions as he did at age 40, are you ready to stone him? Not literally. But are you ready to say, let's not invite him over for supper? You know what he'll do. He'll get on that subject. Or whatever. My brothers went up and they made my heart melt. Well, had a young man come in and we were encountering a sin in his life. And in the middle of that, he turned and he said, Bob, he said, I can never be an elder because I'm not good enough to look down on people like you are. Very interesting, throwing the blame. Are you going to change because the younger generation says, I want to live a lifestyle that is not biblical? Or as an old man, are you going to say, no, as a biblical old man, that has to go? The last, Caleb's age did not diminish his vision. Numbers 14. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard them, that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as He said. Caleb's age did not diminish his area. My father had a father who quit school at third grade and went out and homesteaded. But he had his confession of faith and he had his Bible and he believed in the Sabbath day. And he raised five sons and daughters. And one of the sons was my father, and he went off to seminary. And somebody asked him, I heard him talking about it later, said, well, was that all fairly new there at the seminary, the theology? He said, no. No, my daddy had already taught me that when I was at home in Oklahoma. This third grade educated person had a commitment, and as an old man, he taught his sons to believe that, and they lifelong walked in Jesus Christ, all nine of the children. It does make a difference. Age does not diminish vision. The Lord helping me, I will drive him out. Well, like Solomon, as we wind it up, Salem continued to learn. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for you, for me. That it won't be just putting on the same old record and playing the same things. But what's God doing? And tonight is going to be sanctification. Actually, it's going to be things that I've learned in my life. Some of them, a couple of things I learned since I left you folks. But we won't. That's where I'm going tonight. If that doesn't interest you as a type of informal evening service, that's where we're going tonight. Getting acquainted. Know them that labor among you. To continue to learn. I think Caleb really didn't quote a lot of verses and references. He just said, the Lord said we can do it. I'm not to the stage where I'm buying a whole lot of books. I don't even have Wayne Spear's book. I was delighted to see that here today. I will get that one. But like Solomon, he learned somewhere else to learn. And here's what the aged often do a lot better than the rest of us. He says this, Solomon, the wisest person in the world, I went past the field of the slothful, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I learned something. I applied my heart to what I observed, and I learned a lesson from what I saw. You don't have to go back to school. It's an older person. Maybe you're out of school. You don't have to go back to school, but God helping you to look around at current events, God helping you to listen to the news, God helping you to look at the kind of things that the youth are into, even choosing a house. So I want to be downtown where all the jet set is, all this kind of thing. We do a lot of drinking and all this kind of thing, whether you look at the house channels or not. But it isn't too good an option, really, when you look at it. But there's something afloat here that's strange and needs to be dealt with. We need to learn the right things. Caleb remembered his youth and spiritual foundations, like David. One of the Psalms says, O God, I have been taught to you from early days of youth, and all the wonders I've done I still declare as truth. And even when I'm old and gray, O God, forsake me not, until your strength and power I have each generation taught. That becomes the goal of an older person, not to see who's the oldest, not to see who lasts the longest, as it were. But I've got an objective to reach another generation with the gospel that Jesus Christ is the only answer of every age. God called, and God gave Caleb faithful children. Psalm 127 says, I'm going to compare kids to arrows, and I'm going to give you a whole quiver full of arrows. I'm going to send you this wood, and you turn it into arrows. That's Calvin's comment. We only have three arrows. George and I were only given three arrows, three pieces of wood. We brought them forward, had them baptized, this kind of thing, and began to work and develop as many of you did And today, what a pleasure it is that they know Jesus Christ and they live in Him today. It's all of grace, not of our works. It's all of vision to say, I want the next generation to know. And so I'm praying for my grandchildren that they would come to know the Christ who redeems. I was leaving our house. We'd had family worship there way back when. We had like a third grader, a fifth grader, and an eighth grader. They had family worship, and then I took the communion assistant out, and we drove to Hayes to put him on the plane, and he was quiet for quite a ways. And then he thought about the family worship. He just left. And he turned and he said, Bob, he said, if we lose our kids, we lose the ball game. Somewhere along the line, we've got to hammer these things through as older people. We know what happens to the grandchildren of kids that are indifferent. We know what happens to the next generation. And so we're there. We never lose our vision. We never change where we were at 40 on this topic, that God can work through us to see things happen. Numbers 14:24, Caleb had a different spirit. He follows me wholeheartedly. Let's pray. Father and Lord, we haven't talked a lot about the blood atonement in Christ today. Oh, Father, thank you for the clause you gave that older people are to be respected if it is on the head of a righteous man or a righteous woman. So, God, we come thanking you for the righteousness in Jesus Christ. Lord, if there are older people here who kind of just sitting out on the swing and taking care and doing little or nothing, that God would convict them of saying, if God's given you energy, they would want the hill country. They would want the tasks that are difficult to do, as long as God gives them energy to do it. We pray that now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.